The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, on this 25th day of April 2017. And Barbara Spector, actually her real name, Barbara Lerner Spector, she's an academic and a philosophy lecturer and the founding director of PAIDIA, the European Institute for Jewish Studies in Sweden. Supposedly it's a non-denominational academic institute established in 2001 and funded by the Swedish government. And Spector is best known for her remarks that you heard made in 2010 interview with IBA News of Israel, where she said Jews were leading the push to promote multiculturalism in Europe. And Frank in North Carolina is bringing up a point here, Chuck, that, you know, we don't talk about, you know, the white people because we don't want to appear to be racist. But it seems like the dying breed out there is ye old Caucasian.
Well, we're the guys in all these churches that I'm talking about. My church, when I look around, is 99.9% white people. And we're sitting on our hands and doing nothing. So my response is our Christian churches are the people who should be seeing to justice. And however you view justice, they should not shut the door on what's going outside of the church.
Well, but that's kind of been rigged because of their tax exempt status. If the government, which literally sends agents into church, folks, yes, your government forces its agents to go to church, but not to go pray to God or ask forgiveness of their sins. No, they go in there and spy on the preacher to make sure his sermons and his conduct within the walls of that church are politically correct by the government standards so they can maintain their tax-exempt status.
Well, there was a guy named apostle named Paul who ended up getting his head cut off. And if he was running the church, you can believe me, he would have said what is the truth and what's need to be said, even if there was a risk of losing his tax-exempt status or his head. So I don't accept the idea that the churches don't have to do what's right, that they don't have to look at justice in the eye, because they have tax exempt status, they're in risk of losing it. Christians are supposed to take risk. We do, and you do, and the churches are not. Well, and so that's why we focus on the church.
Well, and I've always believed unless you put something at risk, how can you expect any gain or any return if you do nothing?
What do you expect from God if you put nothing at risk for him?
You know, Chuck,
what would Jesus say about all this? Jesus say about tax exempt status? Well, we're not going to say anything about elections, or we're not going to say anything about issues involving the unborn, or we're not going to say anything about, well, they do talk about that, because that's been sort of made politically correct to talk about that. But What would Jesus say in the face of all this if he was here and the pastor claimed I got tax exempt status? I can't mention the injustice that's going on when we're killing 4 million people in the last 30 years, or what did you say, John? 3 million or whatever the number is. I mean, we use so much depleted uranium in Iraq that children are born all the time who are disfigured. They have extra heads in some cases. Yeah. Because we took our depleted uranium and turned it into weapons and shot it into those people, while our churches sat and watched and said nothing.
Well, and it's rather it's rather fascinating. We now don't have to declare wars on people. No. The representatives that the people elect to the seats, Congress critters and senators, all in Washington. These were the people that were supposed to, if we are going to declare war on somebody, that they would stand up and give their reasons and justifications for doing so, so it could be on record. But now we found a quick, easy way around that. We just gave the president power to declare war on anybody without even calling it a war, to go turn people into human confetti. Chuck, this probably would not surprise you, but out of the 240-plus year existence of the United States, 222 years of our nation's history, we've been blowing up and killing somebody someplace on this planet.
I didn't know the count, but I'm not surprised.
And
almost every case, we went there. No one has come here.
Well,
since the Civil War, we haven't had a conflict on our soil, have we?
Well, a house divided. The North decided that the South shouldn't have states' rights, so we're going to have Abe Lincoln with his stovepipe hat under the guise of keeping the Union together, that we just smashed the South. And on it goes. But, you know, it's a misnomer. You've often heard this said that, well, the United States is an empire, kind of like the the Romans. They had the Roman Empire, tried to conquer the entire habited earth. We had the British Empire, mercantilism, and their ships gave them that. But the United States has been called this. But generally speaking, when you have a situation like that, there's something to be gained. All as I've seen the United States, if it's empire building, they have gained nothing and lost everything. So I wouldn't exactly call this empire building, would you? Yeah.
No, it's empire building at the expense of financial destruction and moral destruction as well. So we are facing these things. It is serious. You're not exaggerating. This present situation is incredibly serious, and it's tragic. It's tragic. It's financially tragic, and it's morally tragic. And John, all that I'm looking for and our little group is looking for is organizations that should morally be able to stand with us and aren't. And we come down to there being only one choice. There's only one set of organizations in America today that have 100,000 different chapters, and that is the Christian Church. There it is. And so we say that this is the place we look for help. And I want to, before we run out of time here, I want to say something that we've observed. We've identified Christian Zionist people. We've identified why they think that way, and what they how they go about it. And we've identified the people who don't think that way and are organized and could be helping us. I want to say that in the last 10 years since we have been observing this, there is a movement that is constructive, that is anti-Zionist, and that is even pro-Palestinian in the face of giant Israel. And that is going on in a number of the mainline churches. It is present in the Roman Catholic Church in what several organizations that have interviewed me, who identify themselves as traditional Catholics, and who have differences with the rest of the church, but they're trying to make change. It's also present in several of the mainline churches in publications that they put out, created, which are very positive, anti-Zionist, pro-life organizations. And we find that in taking place in very recent years. The Presbyterian Church USA has a very strong, small contingent organization within the church that's published a book called Zionism Unsettled, a congregational study guide. They're trying to get the congregations within their organization, this Presbyterian Church USA, a large denomination, they're trying to get them to study the Zionist problem. And in their book, they've quoted many of the same sources we have, and they've even quoted us in some cases, knowingly or unknowingly. And they are basically saying Zionism has to be dealt with. The same thing is true in the Evangelical Lutheran Church, and in the the Episcopal Church, which has got an organization within it called the Episcopal Peace Foundation, and they have published a book called "Steadfast Hope: The Palestinians' Quest for a Just Peace." Now, these organizations are actually active within all of these churches, and they didn't even exist 10 years ago. This is all new. And it's a sign, an indication that there is something going on within some of these, what we have termed the mainline churches, the wedge of the pie I talked about that constituted the followers of Martin Luther and John Wesley and so on.
All right, we have more calls, and I want to wrap up this half hour with Mr. Carlson. And again, if you want to email Chuck, go to the website, WHTT.org. It stands for We Hold These Truths, WHTT.org. And I think you said about us tab on there. You click on that, and that'll get you your email.
Right, and you'll find, and there's a little search there. It works fairly well. And if you search for Christian Zionism, it will come up with all kinds of things we've written over the last 20 years.
Yeah, before I let you go, I want to get around to the Greater Israel plan that nobody seems to be talking about, but we certainly have discovered it. Let me go to Ramsey in Canada. Hello, Ramsey. Hello, Ramsey.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
You see, sir, I just want to make a point and ask you a question. At the beginning of the show, you said, I agree that not all Jews are Zionists, but see, sir, you said Zionism and Judaism are two different things. See, sir, how I see it, and also this is what Tex Mars talked about, and I've heard other professors talk about this as well. See, the Zionists or the Israelis or whatever you want to call it, they believe this is their land. God gave it to them. They're the chosen people, and that's why they're in the West Bank and all that. So all that came, like they say, all that came from the Old Testament. So my question to you is, why do you see Zionism and Judaism as two different things completely?
You're probably more the authority on that, Chuck. Go ahead and take a whack at that one.
Okay. Why do I see Zionism and Judaism as two separate things? Well, the problem is that Zionism is supported by so many non-Jews. That's the very thing I'm talking about. For every Zionist in America who voted, for every Jewish Zionist in America who voted for Donald Trump, there were probably 30 or 40 Christian Zionists who voted for Donald Trump. And I'm not saying Donald Trump is the root of the problem. He's just a current manifestation, kind of a ridiculous manifestation of the problem. But we're looking at this from a practical point of view of how we can make change, how we can make correction, how we can cause things to happen. And so we say that in focusing our efforts, we focus on the Christian Zionists because there's so many of them, and 81% of them voted for Donald Trump in the last election. In almost every election, the election has been swung in recent years by this group of Zionist Christians who have been attracted by the idea of that war is justifiable. So let me respond.
Sorry?
Go ahead and respond.
Well, see, sir, I'm not talking about the Christian Zionists voting for Trump or whatever. I'm not talking about the Christian Zionist aspect. I'm saying, how is Zionism different from Judaism? Forget about, never mind. Like, see, put the Christian Zionist thing aside for now. How is Zionism, the thinking and the idea, different from the Jewish religion? That's my question.
Yes, what Zionism is, what Christian... Zionism is a Jewish manifestation of what they interpret to be the Old Testament of the Christian Bible. And they interpret that the Old Testament of the Christian Bible says that the state of Israel, the present day state of Israel, never mind that this was all started 3,000 years ago or 3,000 years before there was a state of Israel, they're saying that the state of Israel is part of their religion. Now, the Christian Zionists have created their own Bible within the Christian Bible, within the English Christian Bibles, that say the same thing. So it is a claim by the Jews that they have a right to the land called that they named Israel, because they say God gave it to Abraham. And they are followers, they say, of Abraham, never mind the fact that most of them don't believe anything except their business beliefs. Yes, both the Christian Zionists and the Jewish Zionists represent their claim to that land based upon the Old Testament scripture, starting with the book of Genesis. And I could recite the line and verse, and I could even explain to you, if we had more time, how the Christian Zionists went about doctoring their own Bible to justify this belief, because it really isn't there, of course. In other words, there is no connection physically between Abraham, if there was an Abraham who lived 4,000 years ago, if it was 4,000 years, and the present day occupants of the state of Israel. They have no common DNA. They don't really even have a common religion. It's just a land grab for the Jewish Zionists. The Christian Zionists have been conned into buying into this same idea based upon writings that have been written into the Christian Bible in the last 150 years. This is why we call it Neo-Christianity.
And I've got to interrupt here, Chuck, because we're coming up next to a break, and we
only
have.
I don't know if I made this clear. I hope so.
Yeah, and I'm only going to say to Ramsey, go to nkusa.com. That's NK, stands for Nutra Carta.
And Ramsey, write to me if I've not satisfied, because it's our business to answer questions like this.
Okay, Chuck, let me get this out, and we'll make sure that people are able to contact you. Okay. Again, Ramsey, go to NKUSA. It's NutriCardi International, but their website is NKUSA.com. And just punch in a search engine. I'm looking at it right now. Judaism and Zionism are not the same thing. This will explain to you about the Zionist state of Israel. This isn't anything to do with Torah-believing Jews. This is the Kabbalah or what's their 18-volume set there? Oh, that's right, the Talmud. But I thank you for your call, Ramsey. We're up against the break. I'm going to try to squeeze in a couple more callers. The website for Chuck Carlson, WHTT.org, you want to email him. Hit about us button, and that'll bring you his email, and you can contact Chuck that-a-way. Let's take the break. We'll be right back.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promote stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We're going to take a couple of quick calls here, and I'm going to ask you folks to be brief in your question or your comment. Francis, North Carolina, go ahead.
Hey, fellas.
Hi.
To start off with really quickly, it's no secret to anybody that I'm not of the Christian faith, for that matter, first and foremost. And yes, there is a bumper sticker that simply says, "Who would Jesus bomb?" which obviously he never would or ever did, for that matter, even though he may have used a whip on the international bankers. As for your guest, I love this dude. He lays it on the table like it is, and I am absolutely floored. Have a good one.
Thank you, Francis. That was short, succinct. And
Francis, write to me.
There you go, Francis. And again, we hold these truths, WHTT.org, and you can get his email just by hitting the About Us button. And, folks, I would highly suggest that you do so. All right, David in Ohio, and we'll make you the last caller here for Mr. Chuck Carlson.
Hi, John.
Hi.
I just want to say that I'm glad that you kind of had back-to-back shows that seem to be, you know, very congruent. And I just want to say that, you know, God's not a real estate broker.
Don't tell that to Jared Kushner or Donald Trump.
You know, I agreed with you last night that, you know, we can't just be angry. We got to be smart when we deal with these things.
Right.
You know, kind of like that, that saying what you said, you know, it, it's not wise to just say, you know, the only good Jew is a dead Jew. At the same time, I think that their end game is after they've used the goy for their purposes, like continued or, you know, the our banking system, debt, our debt banking system, and our illegal foreign wars, that they're, what they're going to do with us, either we're going to be slaves or we're going to be dead. And that's all for greater Israel.
And that is the perfect segue to ask Mr. Carlson about the Israelis' plan for greater Israel. Thank you, David.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm just going by their own maps. They call it Eretz Israel. It extends from what? The Nile River to the... it extends from the Mediterranean Sea to Iraq.
All the way to Baghdad, by the way.
All the way to Baghdad, yeah.
Yeah.
And so it takes in, of course, Israel was, they were playing, God played a joke on Israel. He didn't put any oil under it. It's the only place in the Middle East that's oil-free. So there is a little humor in all this, but their plan, of course, would be to take in the richest part of all of the Middle East, and it would absorb Iraq and Syria.
Well, and it was kind of funny because I guess it was last weekend our vaunted neocon on Fox News, and that's FAUX News, was taken up by Netanyahu in a helicopter, and he was shown where the greater Israel, the new Israel, is going to be. And I'm sitting here and I'm looking at this and I'm going, oh, my God. All right, well, I'll tell you what, Chuck, we're about out of time here. Any parting shot to our audience?
Don't give up on the people in your church. If you go to church, if you don't go to church, you can still influence people in your church. We have done vigils. We call them vigils. They're actually something like a gentleman's picket, with dressed up people doing it and literature to give out. We've been to something like 150 churches. We have people that do this by themselves. We go to the evangelical churches to make an example of them and to point out what they are in front of their neighbors, which are the mainline churches, the Catholic churches, the other churches that might actually listen to us. So we figured out who won't listen to us. We go there, we challenge them for the benefit of the other churches. And we have people that are influenced inside of those churches that actually come out. Most of the people like myself at one time were influenced by the Christian Zionist movement. Most of the people in our movement were at one time influenced by the Christian Zionist movement. And we left it because we saw through it.
Chuck,
so
I know
that can happen.
We're out of time here. I know you made one stop, and that was to Pastor Hagee's church down in San Antonio. I was so glad you did that.
About 5 times.
Chuck Carlson, thank you so much. I appreciate your time, sir.
My pleasure.
All right.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
No one can be said. What we all must outrun. Who's gonna carry the weight of the world until we learn to stop and do what must be done?
Let me squeeze this in here before we play that Gavin Seam clip with Ammon Bundy from his jail cell. The Zionists have deceived many well-meaning Jewish people via terror, trickery, and false propaganda. They have at their disposal the use of nearly universally subservient media. Whoever attempts to criticize them puts his livelihood and at times his very life in danger. However, despite the media blackout and an easy resort to terror, the simple truth remains unrefuted and irrefutable according to the Jewish faith. The Torah law and the Jewish people are forbidden to have their own state while awaiting the Messianic era. The Creator gave us a holy land thousands of years ago, yet when we sinned, He took it away and sent us into exile. Since that time, our task is to wait for Him and send the Messiah. At that time, the Creator alone, without any human being lifting a hand or saying a word, will bring us together and take us out of exile. He will likewise establish a universal peace among all mankind and will serve Him in goodwill. Some religious Jews, confused by Zionist propaganda, quote biblical verses that the state that God gave the children of Israel the Holy Land. They overlook, unfortunately, those verses which say that He took it away due to our sins. They further ignore those prophecies which explicitly describe the last exile's conclusion as divine, not a human process. The Creator has commanded every Jew to follow the ways of peace and to be loyal to the country where he lives. Torah true Jewry waits patiently for the Messianic redemption. They have nothing to do with any kind of pseudo-Jewish state and its aggressions against other people. They have a deep sympathy for the plight of the Palestinians who have suffered the most from Zionism's false teachings and barbaric actions. The Zionist state is not a Jewish state. The Zionists alone are the only ones responsible for their actions. Authentic Jewry has and will continue to oppose the very existence of this blasphemous state. I urge you to go to nkusa.com and read this. I'm sorry, nkusa.org, and read for yourself what the Jews up in New York have been saying for, I don't know, 25, 30 years about the state of Israel. All right. Go ahead, cue up that Gavin Seam interview with Ammon Bundy from Ammon Bundy's jail cell. Go ahead.
All right, I think we are there. Guys, hey, it's Gavin here, and I've got a call. We finally have Ammon Bundy call right now live from the Nevada jail. So get the word out, share this, spread it. Ammon has a few important things to say of what's been going on, and he's strong. They're doing good. They have not been complying, and that's why they're still in the hold, because they're bringing a message of hope, and the last thing they want in these jails is hope. They want us to comply. They want us to play along. Ammon, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Gavin.
They should be able to hear you. So tell people what's going on or whatever you feel like needs to get out there, Ammon. How are you doing, and what's why are you still, it's been almost a month now, why are you and Ryan still in solitary?
Well, they put us in here because we just really basically will not accept their guest call.
They want an inmate facility.
They want us to accept that what we've done or what we're, you know, doing here is our fault. And I've had several actual guards say, well, if you don't want to be here, then you shouldn't have committed a crime. And I've tried, you know, of course, to explain to them, hey, look, we've not been convicted, and we are innocent. We maintain our innocence.
Right.
But, and I know without a doubt that what we did was right. But they insist that us to accept guilt, and right. We will not do that. And,
good for you.
We will not allow them to treat us in a way that says that we're guilty.
Yeah.
And so they put us in these holes, in these cells, and feed us through a little hole in the door. And I have to fight to get a phone call out, and won't go into the details there, but I'm right now standing on my knees with the phone receiver. It's like an old payphone receiver through the little hole in the door, and I'm talking to you guys, and I'm at risk doing that. I'll just leave it at that.
Ammon, what's it like in the solitary? How are they treating you in there? I mean, do you have proper clothing and heat, or what's the deal in there?
They feed us three times a day. It's just for me, it's barely enough, but it is okay.
Right.
And I don't ever come out. I do not ever come out. And if we come out, for example, if we get a video visit from our friends or family,
right,
they require us to get on our knees, put our hand through the port so they can handcuff us, and then when they take us out, there's two or three of them that actually hold on to us, like literally like we're just monsters. But yeah. I don't do that much, or don't have an opportunity to do that much, which I wouldn't anyway. But I literally just stay in here in this cell. It's about a 11 by 7 square concrete room, and the last time I came out was a week ago, and I've been in here for like 28 days. But I'm feeling strong. I want people to know that. I want people to understand that, you know, that they're not breaking us down. They're actually teaching us to be strong and to stand. I know that what we're doing is right. I know that.
Right.
I know to get freedom is to not accept the things are wrong.
Well, and I, what's powerful to me, Ammon, is that even in chains, and I've been trying to explain this to people, and they kind of scoff at me. I say, even in chains, they're still refusing to comply. It's not about violence or hate. It's about saying, I'm not gonna let myself be treated like an animal. I'm not gonna let myself be taken into the courtroom and pretend like I'm being treated like a human, when in reality, I'm being treated like an animal.
The innocent man is the greatest threat to them.
Yeah.
And we have to maintain that we're innocent and not accept the guilt that they try to place on us. And how else can we do that if we don't say, look, you can't treat me that way. I'm an innocent man.
Right.
I have my rights, and you can't take them. How else can we do that? And anybody that says that compliance is what's needed and what we must do is an absolute ignorant to history.
Exactly.
Nobody in history, that has preserved rights or brought good to this world that was compliant. Nobody. And you point somebody out. I mean, we could go from, you know, Martin Luther, the first Martin Luther, to Martin Luther King Jr., to Daniel.
To Jesus. Paul. Yeah.
We can go to the Lord.
Right.
And look at them. None of them accepted the wrong that was happening.
Right.
And they made a difference. Can you imagine what our world would look like right now if those people, John Wesley, I mean, I could go on and on and on.
Right.
Many of them lost their lives, but they stood and would not comply because they knew it was wrong. Look at the founders.
Yeah, compliance is never the message. You know, we're to be loving and compassionate and not to be out seeking vengeance, I would argue, Ammon. But obedience to tyranny, it never brings justice.
Well, see, you can't do it and revile. We're not supposed to revile and be wicked and mean to those that we're not complying with. That's not acceptable.
Right.
But we must not comply. We cannot comply unless you just want any liberty that's left gone.
And most of them are.
If you want that, then comply.
Yeah. It's fear.
But if you want to hang on to the very liberties that we have, and if you want to get more back, you have to say, look, this is wrong, and no matter what the consequences, I am not going to comply. Period.
Ammon, people are afraid. I know it's, you know, and here you are still standing up. What can you tell people that are afraid?
Well, I'll tell them this, and pardon me if I'm being a little bold, but we don't have a government problem in this country. We don't have a police abuse problem in this country. We don't have a spending problem in this country. We don't have an economy problem in this country. We don't have a criminal problem in this country, or a drug problem, or a moral problem. We don't have those problems. What we have is a courage problem. We have a bunch of cowards who won't stand and face a true problem.
Well, and I
that's
think
the problem.
Yeah,
we won't face it. We're so afraid of our comforts being taken, or our food, or our pleasure.
It's from an innate facility.
Right.
We're so afraid of that we will not stand and face it, and it's just going to destroy us.
Yeah, it's not going to work. It's not going to come out in the end. And our moral problem, to me, I mean, our biggest one is our sin in this country, our refusal to acknowledge our fears and to put aside our fear and stand up and love our neighbor has made us cowards. It's made cowards of our men. It's made cowards of our nation. And so all of these abuses that we see that are very real, it's what you're saying is that it's all because of us. It's all because of the people sitting by and allowing it to happen and sitting silent as their neighbor is kicked in the head.
Well, it is, and it's twofold, because one is we're not willing to stand up when our neighbors get kicked in the head, and two is we seek safety so much that we're willing to give up liberty. We want to feel so safe, but like Benjamin Franklin, security over liberty deserves neither and receives none.
Well, Ammon, you tell me if you think I'm off on this, but it seems to me in your work and in activism that I and others have done, you know, it's not about telling people, oh, go out and, like, you know, pick up your guns and start a war. I mean, we need a revolution of hearts. If people would have a mindset of, of not complying, whether it's at the courthouse or at the protest or in their community, like you did in Oregon, like we did at the Bundy Ranch, if you, with peace and principle, get a group of people and you just say no, I feel like this is why you're in solitary. I mean, yes, they want you to comply with them, but I think what really scares them, Ammon, is that you and Ryan bring hope to those prisoners in there. You're saying you don't have to be animals. You don't have to be treated like pigs and like animals. You can stand up for yourself. And what they're trying to kill is hope. And if people would resist, if many would resist in small ways with principle, I feel like we would get somewhere. Okay, I know they're going to cut us off, so I'll let you take that last minute to say whatever you need.
Well, I just reemphasize, you know, that this was the home of the free, yeah. And because of the brave. And that is the only way to maintain liberty,
right,
is through bravery. And we become brave when we know that what we're doing is right, when we have faith in a God who is just, and we know that what we're doing is what he would have us do, and what in our hearts, so we know. And right, we stand on that. And we put the fear aside.
From an inmate facility.
We put the fear aside, and we do what is right and let the consequences follow. That's just what we have to do. And
your time is up.
Thanks, Ammon. We love you. Guys, they cut him off, and it's been really hard. They make it really hard for him to get a call out. But
all right. We don't have a spending problem. We don't have a corruption problem. We don't have a tax problem. The problem we have is men that lack courage to stand up for what they know is right. Now, here's a guy sitting in a little metal box under a 24-hour lockdown. And he sounds to me to be freer than most men that I know. Do I have a caller standing by? Let me go through this list quickly here. And if you don't doubt that there was Jewish support and Trump's connections here. Paul Achtleitner. He's a chairman, supervisory board, Deutsche Bank. Ashkenazi Jew. Miriam Adelson. Endorser, Donald J. Trump for president, donor, future 45-pack, vice chairman, Trump presidential inaugural committee, Ashkenazi Jew. Sheldon Adelson, endorser, Donald J. Trump for president, donor, future 45-pack, finance vice chairman, Trump presidential inaugural committee, Ashkenazi Jew. Paul Atkins, member of President Trump's strategic and policy forum, Ashkenazi Jew. Brian Ballard, finance vice chairman, Trump presidential inaugural committee, Ashkenazi Jew. Thomas Barak Jr., not to be confused with Barry Sartorell. Donor, Trump Victory Fund, member of Trump Economic Advisory Council, chairman, Trump Presidential Inaugural Committee. Abram Berkowitz, assistant to Jared Kushner, and special assistant to President Trump, the White House, Ashkenazi Jew. Terry Branstad, United States Ambassador to China. He is a North European Ashkenazi Jew. Andrew Bremberg, Director of Domestic Policy Council and Assistant to President Trump, Ashkenazi Jew. Elliot Broidy, Vice Chairman, Trump Victory Committee, Finance Vice Chairman, Trump Presidential Inaugural Committee, Ashkenazi Jew. Safra Katz, C-A-T-Z, Executive Committee Member, Trump Presidential Transition Team, Ashkenazi Jew. Michael Cohen, Director, United States National Economic Council, Ashkenazi Jew. Reed Cordish, Assistant to President Trump for Intergovernmental and Technology Initiatives, Ashkenazi Jew. Delos Cosgrove, member of President Trump's Strategic and Policy Forum, Ashkenazi Jew. Elizabeth DeVos, donor, Trump Victory Fund, secretary, United States Department of Education. Jewish spouse, Richard DeVos Jr. Gil Deeser, president of Trump Deeser Development, Ashkenazi Jew. Michael Deeser, founder of Trump Deeser Development, also an Ashkenazi Jew. Jamie Dimon, member of President Trump's Strategic and Policy Forum. His wife, Jewish spouse, Judith Kent. Louis Eisenberg, chairman, Trump Victory Committee, finance co-chairman, Trump's Presidential Inaugural Committee, Ashkenazi Jew. Boris Epstein, senior advisor, Donald J. Trump for President, communications director, Trump Presidential Inaugural Committee, assistant communications director for surrogate operations and special assistant to President Trump, the White House, Ashkenazi Jew. Steven Feinberg, donor, Trump Victory Fund, donor, Rebuilding America Now, Political Action Committee member, Trump Economic Advisory Council, Ashkenazi Jew. Lawrence Fink, member of President Trump's Strategic and Policy Forum, Ashkenazi Jew. Alan Fishman, chairman, Ladder Capital, and that's Donald Trump's second largest lender, Ashkenazi Jew. David Friedman, co-chairman, Israel Advisory Committee for Donald Trump, United States Ambassador to Israel, Ashkenazi Jew. Samuel Fox, vice chairman, Trump Victory Committee, Ashkenazi Jew. Bruce Gelb, endorser, Donald J. Trump for President, Ashkenazi Jew. Michael Glassner, deputy campaign manager and national political director, Donald J. Trump for President, special advisor for operations, Trump Presidential Transition Team. You guessed it. Ashkenazi Jew. Lawrence Glick, executive vice president of strategic development, the Trump Organization, Ashkenazi Jew. Scott Gottlieb, commissioner, United States Food and Drug Administration, Ashkenazi Jew. Jason Greenblatt, executive vice president, chief legal officer, the Trump Organization, co-chairman, Israel Advisory Committee for Donald Trump, President Trump's special representative for international negotiations, Ashkenazi Jew. Vincent Harris, former digital strategy manager, Donald J. Trump for President, Ashkenazi Jew. Thomas Hicks Sr., finance vice chairman, Trump Presidential Inaugural Committee, Ashkenazi Jew. Carl Icahn, endorser, Donald J. Trump for President, Trump's special advisor for regulatory reform, Ashkenazi Jew. Gail Icahn, finance vice chairman, Trump's Presidential Inaugural Committee, Ashkenazi Jew. Robert Iger, member of President Trump's Strategic and Policy Forum, Ashkenazi Jew. Robert Johnson IV, Jewish spouse, Suzanne Irka, endorser, Donald J. Trump for President, vice chairman, Trump Victory Committee, finance vice chairman, Trump Presidential Inaugural Committee. Travis Kalanick, former member of President Trump's Strategic and Policy Forum, Ashkenazi Jew. Peter Calico, donor, Trump Victory Fund, Ashkenazi Jew. Daniel Kowalski, deputy policy director, Donald J. Trump for President, member of Trump Economic Advisory Council. Yep, Ashkenazi Jew. Lawrence Kudlow, endorser, Donald J. Trump for President. You guessed it, Ashkenazi Jew. You notice I'm only into the K's here, folks. I think we'll run out of time before this list is completed. Charles Kushner, endorser, Donald J. Trump for President, donor, Make America Great Again. Is that Charles Kushner that was indicted for all kinds of illegal stuff? Yeah, that's the same one. Jared Kushner, senior advisor, Donald J. Trump for President, executive committee member, Trump Presidential Transition Team, senior advisor to President Trump, the White House, director, White House Office of American Innovation, Ashkenazi Jew. Yale Kushner. And this would be Yale, Y-A-E-L Kushner. That's Ivanka Trump's little Jewish name she adopted. Executive Vice President, the Trump Organization, Senior Advisor, Donald J. Trump for President, Executive Committee Member, Trump Presidential Transition Team. Bennett LeBeau, donor, Trump Victory Fund, Ashkenazi Jew. Richard LaFrack, donor, Trump Victory Fund, Ashkenazi Jew, Richard Lesser. Member, President Trump's Strategic and Policy Forum, Ashkenazi Jew. Corey Lewandowski, former campaign manager, Donald J. Trump for president, Ashkenazi Jew, East European. Christopher Liddell, Director of Strategic Initiatives and Assistant to President Trump, the White House, Ashkenazi Jew. Ronald Lieberman, Executive Vice President of Management and Development, the Trump Organization, Ashkenazi Jew. Robert Lighthizer, United States Trade Representative, Ashkenazi Jew. Howard Lober, donor, Trump Victory Fund, member, Trump Economic Advisory Council, Ashkenazi Jew. David Malpass, member, Trump Economic Advisory Council, Undersecretary for International Affairs, United States Department of the Treasury, Ashkenazi Jew. Douglas Manchester, donor, Make America Great Again, Political Action Committee, Ashkenazi Jew. Bernard Marcus, notice I'm only into the M's, folks, and we're running out of time here. Bernard Marcus, endorser, Donald J. Trump for president, donor, Rebuilding America Now, Political Action Committee, donor, Make America Number One, Political Action Committee. Robert Mercer, donor, Make America Number One, Political Action Committee, Ashkenazi Jew. Amanda Miller, Vice President of Marketing, the Trump Organization. Doesn't sound Jewish, but she is. She's an Ashkenazi Jew. Eli Miller, Chief Operating Officer, Donald J. Trump for President, Ashkenazi Jew. Jason Miller, Senior Communications Advisor, Donald J. Trump for President, Communications Director, Trump Presidential Transition Team, Director of Communications Assistant to the President Trump, the White House, Ashkenazi Jew. Stephen Miller, National Policy Director, Donald J. Trump for President, National Policy Director, Trump Presidential Transition Team, Senior Advisor for Policy to President Trump. Well, I think I'll stop here with M. And obviously, there is much, much more to go in this alphabet. But suffice to say, my earlier statement that, there seems to be more Jews in and around Trump than there are Jews in Israel. Is Fred there? We'll give Fred the last word. Fred?
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
This is the honor bestowed upon you. You have the last word.
Well, what Cliven Bundy said, I strongly agree with the exception. We have lost our morality, we've lost our virtue, and we've lost our religion. Hitler lost the war. The Nazis won the war. John, I don't know if you recall when I first went on RBN 3 years and 2 months ago, I called up about how the donations were coming in, and I happened to get a hold of you, which I was amazed and surprised. And I talked to you about how the donations were coming in. And I said, well, go and ask your dad. Do you remember that conversation?
You know, that's a lot of water over that dam, and I've got to say, Fred, I don't remember that specific remark.
Well, after that, I said, and you thought I was nuts or crazy. I said, all you have to do to talk to your dad is get down on your knees. Well, John, what I started and what I...
20 seconds, Fred.
What I believed then, I believe now only more. But
all
it
right.
takes...
Thank you, Fred. Last word. Thank you all for being here. Back with you tomorrow. Another edition of the National Intel Report.
Less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman App at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.